And I'm going to put it to you just like that. You got to say, hey, fellas, it's only going to be on us to find that one or two good individuals who can join the crusade, become someone who's committed to it, become a paying monthly member, support the free press. I can't say this enough. You are not going to get free press unless you pay for it. The major media, the dominant media, is owned already. It is controlled. You can listen to it if you want. If you want to be mind melded into the Borg. But it's not going to help you actually see clearly on what to do. One of the things Mike and I committed to was being the solutions station. We're trying to give you solutions. I just gave you one on how to better manage your money in this, I think, coming catastrophe. Now, is my advice perfect? No. Is anybody's advice perfect? No. But it sure is different, I can promise you, than anything you hear out there in the investing world. And so is Mike's, and so is Brother Andre's, and so is everyone else on the Crusade Channel. So I can only encourage you, if you're a basic member, upgrade your membership. If you know somebody who's not a member, introduce them to the chat room first. Just give them something to bite on. And maybe they'll go, man, these guys make some sense. I kind of like this. Tell them to listen for 2 weeks. It was that Mike's old challenge, right? Give him 2 weeks and he'll change your world, change your mind. That's the kind of thing we're looking for. And just be our marketing arm. Tell them to go to crusadechannel.com. Hit the join button. They can join for free right now. My goodness, what is the big objection? So help us out here. Help a barista out and let us grow the crusade ever, ever larger. You listen to The True Money Show. I am the financial guru on the Crusade Channel, last live radio station standing. You can call in 844-527-8723. You can email me, david@tffco.com or truemoney@crusadechannel.com. I think that's it. I'm going to look it up during the break. It's sad I can't remember that. I haven't been using it that long. Mike just made it for me a week or so ago, and I'm a dummy. I can't remember things anymore. Okay, I'm going to put this aside because I want to bring my guest on the show. And I've already told you, if you want to call in, you can jump in here anytime you want and ask my guest a question. My guest is actually the son of a client of mine, which I really am kind of proud of, not because I had anything to do with him being his son or because I had, nice. Somebody just donated 10 bucks. Oh, thanks, Molly. It's the sweetness comes in with a $10 safety dance fund donation. you got to love that, right? So if you like that kind of music, I'm like an old bad DJ. Hey, if you like the safety dance, why don't you donate $10 to the fund? And I will play a lot more where that came from, baby. I'll go dig up every bad video I can find from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and I'll lay them on you, bristas. So if you want to do like Molly did, there's a little dollar sign in the far right side of the chat room. And this is a way for us to target money to pay for, the chat room costs money. And everybody loves it. Everybody likes being there. And it's a great added benefit to being a member. But it does cost Mike money. He's got to support all these technical things. You want to help do like the sweetness did and pay the safety dance fund. Click the little dollar sign and give us a little coin to keep that activity going. Okay, so I was saying I'm kind of proud because I knew this guy when he was just a kid or relatively a kid, right? A high school guy. I had a business called College Funding Options, and their parents were talking about how to fund college because, he was going to a rather swanky college that cost him money, and it always worries parents. Well, anyway, so he goes off to college, and the rest is just history. He took off, went overseas, worked in the micro-lending world, and basically, well, he's just an intellectual giant inside that field. And he comes back to the United States, and he's cutting new ground here at a group called BetterFi.co. I've had him on the show before. We've talked about ending predatory lending. I'm happy and really pleased to welcome back Spike Hosh to talk about BetterFi, ending predatory lending, and a few other crazy questions that I have. Spike, welcome back to the show. I think we got a little Spike, you there?
Can you hear me?
Oh, very good. Yeah, we had a little tuner turn down there.
Spike, I got you.
How have you been?
Thanks for having me back on, David. I'm doing good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. I mean, considering the state of the world, the world's absolutely insane.
Right.
I try not to think about it, but no matter what, the world just kind of makes you think about the craziness. And well, it's frustrating because, I have 5 kids. I try to keep, chin up, smile on my face. And sometimes,
ignore what's going on for sure. Harder and harder.
Sometimes I don't keep the chin up like I'm supposed to, So I guess I can be forgiven for that. It's not like it's the easiest place in the world to be. All right. So listen, I wanted to get a real quick. I know I want to get some newer topics, but can you give us a little brief history of your program and then maybe like a little current update of where BetterFi is?
Sure, definitely. So BetterFi, we are a nonprofit. We call ourselves a justice enterprise. So we're a lender, and primarily what we focus on is trying to get people out of the clutches, if you'll permit me to say that, of predatory lenders, those payday lenders, title lenders, that kind of thing. The main thing we do is we'll actually go and poach those loans. So someone who comes to us, someone who is stuck making payments on one of those predatory loans, maybe they have a $1,000 loan out, they're paying $200 a month, and after a year of doing that, they owe more than they started owing initially. We actually will go buy out that loan and refinance it as an affordable installment loan.
Yeah.
They're not free loans. We charge interest, but way less than those places would. And then we also do financial coaching, free tax prep, and then we run a junior achievement program in the local schools, at least pre-COVID we did. We probably got going in earnest about a year and a half ago, and things have slowed down. Obviously, it's a hard time, especially for a lot of our clients in terms of making payments. A lot of them have lost jobs, have got less income now, have other things they're trying to deal with. But we're chugging along, and we have filed for our CDFI, so Community Development Financial Institution certification, which will hopefully allow banks to invest in us, even as a nonprofit. And so we're kind of getting ready for that and hoping to start scaling this thing up probably sometime next year if everything goes according to plan. So.
Well, so Molly has posted in the chat room, guys, if you're looking for the website, betterfi.co, so you can click the link in the chat room, or of course you can just go to www.betterfi, that's F-I, the end of word, better.co. Well, you brought up something I didn't even think to ask, but I'll ask that. Does BetterFi, adjust? Okay, so we've had the COVID world, we had the cutback in hours, people are probably on unemployment, et cetera, et cetera. Are you the friendly, loving lender who says, okay, I'm going to cut your payment in half, okay, I'm going to suspend it for 3 months, or do you go, no, man, I still got to crack the nut like everybody else and make the money? How did you guys treat that?
Definitely on the former side, I think. From the get-go, our loans have been able to be flexible. So, for instance, if someone had seasonal income, if they're like a farmer, then we would structure payments to only come when they were doing work or when they're getting revenue, when they're making money, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so on the most part, we have been working with our clients. You know, if it's someone who has Social Security or disability, then we expect them to keep paying. That doesn't change. If they got hours cut, then we work with them to make smaller payments. We've been waiving late fees, giving free deferrals, if someone loses their job, because ultimately we want to get paid back. But I think we've decided the best way to do that is by working with our clients to make sure they have an opportunity to make money. We've been doing some things like if a client loses a job, we've started forwarding a monthly job posting to those clients so they can start looking for other work. And surprisingly, a lot of places actually are looking for jobs up here. So it's really just a matter of them getting to that next spot where they can make payments.
Yes.
Just try to work with them as best as we can.
That is way too human, Spike.
It definitely helps that, we're a pretty small operation, and we got maybe 40 borrowers. So I think if we had hundreds, it'd be a lot harder for us to send out job postings. But the size right now, it's something feasible.
Well, I've got a financial thought of the day coming up after my interview with you and what you said. So I want you guys to remember what Spike just said about being smaller and being at scale and the responsiveness that he can give. Just remember that idea when I get to my financial thought of the day later in the show. I'm speaking with Spike Hoche, who is a BetterFi.co, a graduate of Sewanee, and like I said, went overseas, did some micro-lending, and then brought the concept back, and after working with both private and government entities, created this thing, this 501c3 called BetterFi, and said it's been at about a year and a half now, in earnest at least. I'm sure the planning started before, but the activity, the business side of it started about a year and a half. So give us the current update. I saw on the website it said money saved $170,000. Let me ask you this. Speaking of the downturn, so give me a current update, kind of keep that in the back of your mind, but also So do you? I would expect that after this thing, this COVID thing, and the economic slaughter that it's caused, I imagine some people are falling into the predatory loans now that you might be digging out after the event. Do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the number of these places are still actually popping up more and more new ones all over, at least our part of Tennessee. So I think as people's unemployment gets cut down, as they stop receiving unemployment, there'll be more people looking or falling victim to some of those predatory lenders who are looking to find somebody who needs cash for their light bill or to get food on the table, that kind of thing.
Wow.
And yeah, in terms of, I guess, overall updates, so we have crossed 120 grand in loans. And so that equates roughly to actually more about 180,000 in savings now. So I think the numbers on the site are a little out of date. And the way we do that is we just calculate what our actual, our borrowers actually will be paying to us versus what the typical title loan borrower in Tennessee ends up paying. And so the typical title loan borrower in Tennessee takes out a month-long loan at about 24% per month, and then usually renews it on average at least 8 times.
Oh,
and so you can do that calculation easily to figure out how much money and interest and fees they're spending. And so we consider that a conservative estimate, especially given that a lot of our clients had those loans out for longer than 8 months. And so we're trying to be conservative in our estimate. But yeah, so about 120,000 in loans that we have made over the last year and a half or so. And we estimate that saves our clients, puts money back into their pockets, into local businesses, into, you know, their homes, probably around 180,000.
Now, let me ask you, so have you had anyone graduate out of debt? That'd be one question. And then two, I thought I saw, but maybe I misread it. Have you expanded into another area, or are you still just one shop?
Still just one shop, but our plan is to start kind of reaching out into the adjacent counties. And I think we've had one person so far who has graduated from our program, at least, who has paid off their loan and not needed help. We've had a couple who paid off their initial loans, and then maybe they needed help with a car repair or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than go to a payday lender, they came back to us if their bank wouldn't give them a loan. So in those situations, I guess they've graduated from relying on predatory lenders. Of course, we want them to graduate from us, too, because even our rates are basically like a credit card rate. So if they're able to build that credit score up and go to a bank, the better for them.
Oh, I still think that's a great success, though, because they have, one, an outlet, and two, they clearly are making a testimony by their actions that this thing was good for them. And so I think that's a great credit to your organization. I'm talking to Spike Hoche of BetterFi.co. You can find him online there and read the whole story. It's really an inspiring story, and we don't see enough of this, what I just call kind of a change of thinking, a change of direction, a different way of doing business, and, boy, the dream of all dreams, something human and caring. I mean, I just don't think we see this enough.